here I am, all awake and alive and pissed off. And I don't know what to do now. For the first time in my life, there aren't 50 plans. I'm a person that always had a plan for her plan for her plan for her plan. Failure was not an option. And I'd failed at attempting suicide. And it was the first time I had really failed on a colossal level, and I was even more depressed.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how.
Welcome, everyone. This is Dawn Mathis, and you're listening to my podcast, To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. I have a phenomenal guest for you today. I cannot wait to chat with her, with you, and just as I told our guest, this is like us having coffee and you guys are eavesdropping. So that's what's going on here. And anyway, we're going to get started. If there were titles to pick for this, in honor of my guest, Michelle Lamont, I would say that the title that I would choose for this is the same title of her amazing podcast, Manifesting Miracles, because that's what Michelle is all about. So I wanted to read first of all, a quote from one of my favorite people to quote, and that is Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. And he says this, he says, there are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if everything is a miracle. And Michelle's dancing on my screen, so she must love him too, and she must love that quote. So awesome. I picked a good one. Let me tell you a little bit about Michelle. And a lot of this you will find, well, all of it you'll find on her website. And we'll give you that, as we always do, in the show notes. We'll give you information about Michelle and her podcast and her website and all that good stuff. So first, what really, really spoke to me about Michelle's story is, first of all, she's a first-generation Colombian-American born in Dallas, Texas, and that she learned about the power of using her mind when she was 8 years old and had her first business at that time. What then happened was she had some horrific tragedy in her life at the age of, I believe it was 11. Her mom died of cancer. And her father drove her to Waco, Texas, where she was placed in an orphanage and became a ward of the state. She was there for 6 years until she left to attend Arizona State University. Then another tragedy happened later on in her life. Her dog, many of us have dogs, and when we lose our pets, it's just as if we're losing a child. Her dog Nixon was killed by a car, and yet she took that tragedy and had a dream and actually created a business model from that loss, and created a business called Foxy Paws. I love that. And that business went on to be a multi-million-dollar business with 4 stores and over 40 employees. And then, if she wasn't busy enough, she created another business called Foxy Paws Design, where she did her own public relations work. And you know how things happen. We around this time in 2010, online retailers come around, rents are increased, and she decided to close that business down. And at that time, another loss, maybe, but she jumped from that and actually landed a public relations job with Dancing with the Stars in Dallas. I'm sure you guys have heard of Dancing with the Stars. Crazy, right? Awesome. Anyway, she's used her intuition and her business sense to create that business. She has worked with pro athletes, comedians, reality TV stars, TV networks like Bravo, TV One, The Travel Channel, Aspire. Amazing, right? I know you want to meet her, but I'm not done. I want to give you a little bit more about her. And this is what really touched me about Michelle is her courage to tell you that although she was thriving in business and had manifested phenomenal success in that way, she was behind closed doors suffering through a loveless and emotionally abusive marriage until she left her husband in 2015. And then she goes even deeper into her story and tells us that she's a survivor of attempted suicide because she felt there was nothing left for her to do. She'd done a lot of successful things in business and just felt that there was nothing more or nothing left. And then that actually was her springboard, if you will. She didn't stay in the hammock of despair and non-healing. She used this loss, these two losses, or almost losses, to springboard into yet something new. And that was her own healing, her own transformation, and rediscovery of herself. The reason I tell you this is someone who can tell you that has a lot of courage. And those are the kind of people that you want in your corner, that you want to listen to, that can give you hope if you're feeling despair in your life and needing a transition or wondering what the hell is next, or is this all there is to life, is what I've done, and now I'm getting ready to retire and I'm feeling empty. So that's why Michelle is here today. She went back to school for something called mindfulness cognitive therapy. She is licensed and she has begun a new chapter, and she's going to talk to us about that in just a moment. So I just wanted to let you know she has lots to offer. And let's hear a little bit about maybe some of the gaps I missed in her story. And I have some questions for her. And Michelle, welcome.
Thank you. What a beautiful introduction, and what a lovely soul you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think it takes one heart-centered person to know another. And I am just overwhelmed by the courage that your story portrays on online, because you never know who's going to be reading it, right? You never know if there's some cray-cray person out there or someone who goes, oh my God, I don't want to talk to someone who almost ended their life. Why the hell would I want to talk to her?
Yeah.
So, and those are people who just really don't understand. but what I love about your story is that you've gone from what I would say you might call from your mess to your message.
Yes.
And that appeals to me. And I think it appeals to our listeners. So is it all right if I ask you a couple of questions?
I'd be honored.
So I'm really curious, and I know it's kind of a small detail to some people, but I would love to know what business you started at the age of 8 years old.
Okay, great question. So as you know, I'm a first generation American. My brother was born in Colombia, and we lived in an affluent neighborhood. And in this little affluent neighborhood, there was a little shop. And in the shop, they had these tennis shoes, and you could, for a dollar a letter, get your name written on your backpack or your sneakers, you know, Keds or whatever it was. And my name is Michelle Juanita Lamont, Michelle J. Lamont. And of course, you know, I didn't want anybody to know I was Hispanic or Latina, because we lived in a very affluent white neighborhood. And I just wanted Michelle J. Lamont on there. So I went home and I told my mom, and she goes, ¿Y que puedes hacer eso con tú? She was like, you can do this on your own.
Ah.
So she goes, Michelita, because that's what she called me. She was like, let's go to the Michaels, whatever it was at that time, and we're going to buy a paint pen. And I was like, no, mommy, it's, you know, it's not the same. It's like when your parents make you McDonald's at home, you know, you want.
Yes.
And so I said that to her. I was like, no, everyone's going to know. And she said, Michelle, if you say that you can do this, then you can do it. And one of the things when I was younger, my mom just decided I was going to be the first woman president. So that was what she wanted for me. And I've been president of a couple of companies, so she was right. But she wanted me to be president. And so one day we were in Calabasas at the time. We lived in California. And my brothers were on their bikes and they were running and they jumped the ramp and they got down at the bottom. And my mom said, well, you know, in Spanish, why aren't you doing that? And I said, mommy, my bike is a Barbie bike. And she goes, so? And I said, but mommy, their bikes have snakes on it and like boy stuff. And she said, if you're going to let your equipment dictate your success, you're going to be a loser your whole life. She goes, wow. Get out there. Yeah. She goes, get out there and jump that ramp. And I got out there. I jumped the ramp. I fell. I crashed. My knee skinned open. And she walks over, pours water on it. She goes, do it again. And so I did it again. So I learned pretty quickly from my mom that we don't tolerate a lot of excuses. So, and that was pretty young. And then here I am, you know, probably 8 years old, 7, 8 years old. And I told her I wanted the paint pens on my tennis shoes. And she said, we could go buy a whole paint pen for $1.50 instead of $1 a letter. And I was like, okay. And she said, look, you just have to line them all up the same. Just take a tape measure and line them all up the same, Michelita. And so I practiced on the paper and I practiced on the paper and I practiced on the paper. Then I wrote it perfectly on the shoe. And she was like, see, that's $12, $18 right there that you don't need. So I got this idea that I could do it for all the kids in the neighborhood because we all had bikes and we all wanted this stuff. And the store was right down the street. So my dad at the time had what we thought was like pretty fancy. We had a fax machine, a copier for way back then, you know. And I said, Dad, I want to start a business. And he said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to sell paint names on shoes, on backpacks, on everything. And I said, so I need, you know, $27 or $107. I forgot what the amount was to buy a color, all the colors and the tape and everything. And he said, well, how are you going to market it? And I said, well, I'll just pay my brothers to put the information in people's mailboxes. So my dad made me a flyer and he copied them on his copier. And I paid my brothers 10 cents a street. And I said, look, I've got friends that lives on all these streets. So if they don't say that they got it in their mailboxes, I'm going to know. And pretty soon I had about $300 and something worth of profit, and my dad made me pay him back all the money that I had borrowed to start the business, and the rest was profit. And so when we went back to school, I was allowed to buy whatever I wanted because I had all this extra money. And so it kind of like, you know, kicked off, and my parents are both entrepreneurs. My mom had about 6 or 7 different businesses and my dad owned car dealerships. And so call it what you want, right? Just none of my other brothers or sisters, and I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters from both of their marriages, but from their marriage, there's 3 boys and 2 girls, and I'm the only entrepreneur. So it's not your circumstance, it's you. You can decide what you want to be and what you don't want to be. So that was my very first business. There you go.
Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. So you were saying that that you could manifest things and it was all around the business realm. That's mm-hmm. where you manifested your successes. And then when did you realize that this manifestation thing could work in other places in your life?
Well, growing up at the Children's Methodist home, you know, another aspect of that was that my dad kept my other brothers and sister and he just gave me away. So before my 11th birthday, I lost my mom and I lost my dad and I lost my brothers and my sister. And now I'm in a situation where I'm in a very small town, Waco, Texas, comparatively to Dallas, Texas. And yes, everybody, you know, makes fun of the kids from the orphanage because we go to public school. So between, you know, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, I was in prison. I was literally in a psychological nightmare until I got scholarships and went to college. And I married somebody who was not supposed to be somebody I should have been with for my entire life. And he didn't know. He worked for me his entire life. And he didn't know. We didn't know how to leave each other because we were both addicted to the suffering. He was addicted to being abusive, and I was addicted to being abused. And so once I decided to file for divorce and leave him, I was pretty much, there was nothing left of me. I looked probably 10 years older than I do now. I can't remember being happy. I don't remember food, eating, tasting, nothing. And I spent about 6 weeks after I finally got divorced and he moved to another state. I was sitting there in my house and I said, you know, the only thing that I'm good at is making money and this sucks. And I can't do this anymore. I don't want to live. This is not a life for me. Like, I just went from one prison to another to another. And I said, I can't do this. And I spent a good 6 weeks planning my suicide. And I had been to a therapist and they just prescribed me all the drugs that I was going to use to commit suicide. And a miracle happened that night with my dogs and I, and before the last Baybel cheese full of narcotics to knock me out went in, I realized that I couldn't do it. And I called one of my friends who was a nurse and lived nearby, and her boyfriend's an EMT, and they gave me the things that I needed to throw up and get everything out. And I personally, when I lived at the orphanage, we weren't allowed to listen to music. I don't know all these TV shows people grew up from my age knowing. People used to tell me I looked like this person or looked like that person. I would not know who they were. And I was like, is she ugly? So I don't really know, but one thing we were allowed to do is we were allowed to watch Oprah. I remember watching an episode and this could have been after I left, but I just became a lifelong person, you know, about Oprah. And she had an episode on about The Secret. And I remember was working, you know, I always worked between like 40 and 70 hours a week. And I was working and I saw this thing about The Secret and I thought, how insulting, how disgusting. I've worked my whole life so hard and these people are saying you can just whisper something into the universe and then it's going to appear. This is blasphemy. This is terrible. I can't believe that so many people believe this nonsense. So come full circle. Now it's my suicide day and I'm awake and not happy. I don't want to be alive. I don't know what to do now because there was no plan B. My pet sitter, I had left her $5,000 because I thought she was going to find me in the pool. And she saw the envelope on the counter. She goes, am I supposed to open this? And I was like, no, give it to me. Because I told her I was doing a lot of speaking. And so she would come and watch the dogs while I was on stage talking about how to be a great business person and all the things that you can do and all the ways you can get contracts and like just financing and that sort of thing. And so she was used to me being gone. And so here I am awake and alive and pissed off. And I don't know what to do now. For the first time in my life, there aren't 50 plans. I'm a person that always had a plan for her plan for her plan for her plan. Failure was not an option. And I'd failed at attempting suicide. And it was the first time I had really failed on a colossal level, and I was even more depressed. So I'm laying in bed in my Elvis room, freezing with my peanut butter and banana sandwiches, just like that's all I wanted to eat. I just wanted to not watch TV and just lay in the ceiling and cry. Like and part of me was like, maybe I should get a gun. And I'm laying there and I'm in this cocoon in this darkened room that was freezing. And all of a sudden the TV comes on. And I look and I see the remote on my nightstand and I'm so depressed. I can't get out of bed. I mean, I had even considered just like peeing on one side of the bed and rolling to the other because I didn't even want to get up. And if you know me, I'm a go-getter. So I was just done. And so all of a sudden the TV comes on and I'm just laying there staring at the ceiling, trying to decide like, what do I do now? And this voice comes on and it says, when you change the way that you look at things that you look at change.
Yes.
And for some reason.
Wayne Dyer.
My dog right now just walked up to me is Wayne Dyer Lamont.
Oh.
Yeah. Let me take off his little tag so you can see it. There's his name.
Oh.
So Wayne spoke to me and there he was. And I just became obsessed in a way that I never thought I could be about anything. And, you know, especially a man. Like, I was definitely not team men, you know. Right. I had been in that situation for so long. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to stop you there just for a second. So it wasn't a failure. It was a saving moment for you, a defining moment for you. And what it seems to me, and I know it's this way for some of my clients, and maybe it's this way for your clients, is that when you feel so helpless and you just don't know what to do, sometimes just the vibration of help, or I don't know what to do. Like from the book, The Secret, and when it talks about putting something out there, I truly believe that whoever your divine is, and we all define our own divine, but whoever that was for you was not done with you.
Yeah.
Was not done with you. And what I'm hearing is that you, I mean, I hear how depressed you were, like just unable to move. Mm-hmm. And from that, hearing one little piece of information from someone, Wayne Dyer, who's amazing. He's left us now, as have some other. Yeah, he was amazing. Bob Proctor was another one. He just passed not too long ago. Another great mind.
Beautiful soul. Great soul.
Yes. And so there was a part of you, from what it sounds to me, that could hear the message that he gave. And so somehow your TV came on and boom, there he was. And sounds like that saved your life.
You know what? I think that it was always the plan. And,
yes.
People say, you know, how did you survive 5 miscarriages? How did you survive being sexually assaulted? How did you survive being this? And I said, I don't think of it as survival at all. I think of it as such a gift, because knowing that there isn't anything that can stop me now is the greatest freedom of all. And when you've faced death and you've said, like, come on, you know, and you put your fist up and you win, it almost makes you invincible. And I was on a quest to meet him. And then I found out that, you know, August of 2015, he died, he transitioned. And I went to Half Price Books in my robe and my slippers literally drove there. I was still like, not me yet. And I just went to the self-help thing and I just got every single book off the shelf. And I started down this path, you know. I was a, before that, I had my own PR agency and I worked for red carpets and huge names and big brands and everything. And so I had to keep everything inside because you have to be bulletproof. You have to be perfect for them to work with you. And, you know, being perfect was what I was really good at, but being Michelle, I was terrible at. And I had to find her. And in that, you know, in that awakening, one of the greatest gifts of all was just release and letting go of this need for explaining anything to anybody ever again.
Yeah.
And understanding that I can help any entrepreneur go from 100 to 100,000. That's not hard. Like, this is just tactical. But maintaining it and growing it is spiritual. And so
I love that.
You know what I mean? And so
I love that. Yeah.
And so
that's amazing. And what I'm hearing from all of the suffering, the pain in your life is that you're an overcomer. Not just a manifester, because I truly believe, and I'm just learning this for myself, is that to really fully, all parts of us manifest what it is we would love. And like Wayne Dyer called it, manifest your destiny.
Yeah.
Manifest your destiny. Yeah. Sometimes it requires us to heal first. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much we can do with success. It sounds like you did an amazing job being as successful as you were. And of course, that piques my curiosity because I'm always wanting to, you know, to be more successful. And who doesn't? I mean, most of us do in some way, shape or form. I just hear what an overcomer you are. So if there were somebody listening today, Michelle, and there probably is, who might be living with a limiting belief or a paradigm about themselves, like, I've started this business and I'm not making any money and I've, you know, doing what I can and it's just not working for me. I must just suck. what would you say to someone like that?
Well, first I would say, let's just manifest a dollar. And I'm going to show you how to manifest a dollar. Let's manifest a butterfly. Let's start with something that has nothing to do with what the problem is. So we can prove that you are a creator. And that you and God are not separate. And if God created a mountain and a tidal wave, and you and me, the ideas of manifesting energy called $1 million or 150,000 or half a million, that's child's play. Go stand at a flower for an hour and you tell me how that was created. Okay. And the genius and the ingenuity, you know, there's like something of the neighborhood of like 116 varieties of flowers. What if they decided at 115 that was enough and there wasn't the orchid, right? So you don't know all of the beauty and the divinity and the abilities that you have until you start letting go of the who and the how and the why. That is not your job. Your job is to believe, receive, and understand it. And then through manifestation, which is the act of moving something from thought to reality, you can use practices and modalities and tap into those intuitions and get on this karmic path of success. When I started my podcast in October of 2020, all I had was a $150 mic and me. And this morning I found out that I have, it's 18 months later, over 100,000 downloads. And I've done nothing. I have no co-host. I have no marketing. I have no advertising. I've sold out 17 classes. I have a wait list for my coaching. And people are impressed because I manifested Oprah and I manifested Kim Kardashian and I live in this insane house. But to me, the greatest thing that you could ever manifest is just loving yourself. And if you don't have that pure joy of love, you can't have it for others. And if you don't have it for others, you can't be of assistance in this world, because you're always fighting these demons of fear and doubt and insecurity and lack. And those are low vibrational density energies that cannot allow you to be free. And you're free as you want to be. We're so free, we choose incarceration. And we choose it in a
because it's a choice.
Because it's a choice.
Because it's a choice to choose that.
Yeah. And I was choosing it over and over and over again because I thought I felt worthless. And so if I could make somebody, you know, my ex-husband didn't work, so he worked for me. And he was older than me. And had came from a family and had a lot of great things in his life. And he was my karma, right? Like to just like karmatic soul thing to be able strong enough to walk away and be alone. And once I did that and I passed the final hurdle, I was just on a quest to find out why Dr. Wayne Dyer mattered so much. And then I found out that he was given away by his family and he grew up in an orphanage and his dad was an alcoholic. And he was a life path.
I did not know that. Yep. Wow.
Yes.
So you guys are joined. You're spiritually joined.
Well, I ended up manifesting a relationship with his daughter, and Serena and I are very good friends. And if you go to Serena Dyer's Instagram page, there's a whole post just dedicated to me.
Wow.
So you can manifest anything. Cool. It's really not what you think.
Right. Wow. 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 I'm so impressed. I think I'll be talking to you again, Michelle.
Good.
So we're just about out of time. So what I'd love to do is I'm just going to tell people that you offer one-to-one coaching in multi-week, multi-step programs. Guiding you on the path to your abundance. There's programs with that others are on, like in a group, talking about a variety of subjects pertaining to manifestation. Mm-hmm. And then you're also a public speaker. So if someone wanted you to come in and talk to their team, their nonprofit, their company, that you're available for that as well. Mm-hmm. And let me see here. We'll have all this in the show notes, Michelle, I believe that, awesome. That we have all that, on you. But just where the hell is it? Remind me of what your website is. It's probably very simple. Something like michellejlamont.com, isn't
it?
That's it.
Yep.
Wow. Make it simple. Keep it simple.
Look at the genius in you.
Oh man, I am so much a genius. Thank you. And then your podcast, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, is Manifesting Miracles, which I think is a perfect title for this because many miracles happened in your life. And just like Albert Einstein said, you can look at everything as a miracle or nothing. It's our choice. That's what makes us different. That's what separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom, is that we can choose. So, Michelle, thank you so very much. And I will be reaching out to you. And it's just amazing hearing your story, hearing how you overcame everything. And if you can do it, we can too.
It's already yours.
Amen, sister. Yes. Thank you so much, Michelle. Yeah. And don't get off, because we'll have a few instructions for you. Just hang for a second. But I wanted to say farewell to the guests that listened to this today. Reach out to Michelle. She's the real deal. You know how to reach her. We'll have it in the show notes as well. Michelle J. Lamont, LAMONT. And again, thanks for joining us, everybody. Michelle, thank you. And this is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. I am Dawn Mathis. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.